show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Gentlemen, it is now my distinct honor to be joined by General Mike Flynn, and let's just get some of the comfort casualties out of the way in this short segment. General Flynn, great to see you. Always great to catch up with you. I know you're a very busy person, and we appreciate your time today. So glad you could be with us in the twilight of the InfoWars Hour.
Yeah, this is great, Owen. Thank you so much. And wow, I mean, where do you want to begin here? Because there's so much going on in the world, and certainly in the United States, and certainly with everything, you know, that is going to affect our lives going forward. I mean, there's this it's undeniable how much of a crisis our nation is facing right now. It's undeniable.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a long list of subjects for you. But I know you've been busy. You know, your book about fifth generational warfare. You've got another book coming out as well. Your movie just came out. I mean, let's just briefly talk about the success of your movie, Pardon of Innocence, and where people can check that out, because you're putting stuff out there. I mean, this is evergreen stuff. This is good for American commentary forever. Very informative, very important tidbits of information from your experience and just for Americans to know, generally speaking, about how we can save our country moving forward.
Yeah, so this past year, and actually over the last couple of years, but this past year has been an extraordinary year for this country. I mean, there's so many unprecedented things that we are going through, and we're going to see the next couple of weeks. So, you know, I made the decision that, one, I wanted to have a movie produced, which has been number one. It's number one in on Amazon right now. It's been number one for, I think, over 8 weeks straight now, in what they call special categories, which is thousands of documentaries. And the name of the movie is Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. People can follow me at Flynn Movie on X, but Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. You go to flynnmovie.com. This movie is an extraordinary a movie of survival, but it also tells a tale of extreme levels of corruption in our government. And it ain't just about the Democrats, folks. It's not just about the Obama administration. It's about the entirety of the Uniparty. Owen mentioned Pardon of Innocence. I do have a book coming out. I did the movie first, and I did the book second. I do have a book coming out probably by the end of the summer called Pardon of Innocence. In the movie, I talk about the pardon of innocence that I had to receive because I had a corrupt judge that was riding my rear end so badly, unbelievable, after my case had been dismissed for egregious government misconduct. So a judge then took on the role of judge, jury, and executioner in this corrupt, weaponized system of law that we have right now, rule of law that we have. So Pardon of Innocence is a book that will be out in the next couple of, hopefully in the next 2 months. I've got to run it through, if you can imagine. I got to run it through DOD and other parts of the government just to have it checked. But it's unbelievable that I got to do that. And then the other part that for the audience that Owen mentioned, we have this book called Fifth Generation Warfare, or Introduction to Fifth Generation Warfare, which is essentially the war that we are involved in right now here in America, and frankly between the those that believe in America, those that believe in patriotism versus those that believe in globalism. And so this Introduction to Fifth Generation Warfare, it's the Citizen's Guide. We have written actually, there you go, we've written actually three series of this, the Intro to 5GW, How to Fight Artificial Intelligence, and the Role of the Church. And so all of these books are out right now.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to grab an advanced copy. All right, we're up against the break. When we come back, we're going to do two long segments. General Flynn with us for an hour. Folks, you're not going to want to miss this. You're going to get a lot of important intel here from General Mike Flynn. And we're going to discuss some relevant topics for today's news as well.
If you don't get a high-quality gravity fed filter from InfoWarsStore.com, please just get one. Now, we sell a unit, stainless steel, that is the highest rated out there. And there's a couple of competitors that are just as good. There's 100 others that aren't as good. It is the best system out there to take thousands of chemicals and compounds down to non-detectable levels. The tap water, the well water, it is a witch's brew. And right now at InfoWarsStore.com, we have a special on the Alexa Pure Gravity Fed Water Filtration System for 10% off. That's huge because there's not much markup in these because we sell them so close to cost. So get your Alexa Pure water filtration systems and so much more at InfoWarsStore.com. But whatever you do, research what's in the tap water and the well water and start protecting yourself. And all gravity-fed filters are not created equal. We've got the best for the best price at InfoWarsStore.com for 10% off.
Defending the truth on the front lines of the information war. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
I'm very much looking forward to the rest of this hour. General Mike Flynn with us. Let me just kind of lay out some of the topics we're going to get into here. We'll talk about Trump. We'll talk about the election, some of the Trump policies moving forward. We'll ask General Flynn how he feels about the sanctity of our elections. Are they free and fair? I want to talk about geopolitics. I want to talk about NATO. I want to talk about Putin. Those developments as well. I want to talk about, as he was mentioning in the last segment, the weaponization of government, the political persecution we're going through, all these things General Flynn is obviously an expert on. But General Flynn, before we get into that, let's talk about the big news story from last night, and that is the deal that Julian Assange has made for his freedom, taking a plea agreement for an espionage issue, and this is a foreign citizen. So there's a lot of weird things about this. But I'd just like to get your take, seeing Julian Assange finally freed, 1,901 days in a max security prison. What are your thoughts on Julian Assange, the story of Julian Assange, WikiLeaks, and finally his newfound freedom last night?
Yeah, so number one, Julian Assange is a journalist who was denied his freedom to speak freely and to report freely based on the information that he was able to get. So Julian Assange should have been pardoned actually under the last administration. I wish that Trump had done that at the tail end of his administration to get that over with. I think what's happened and what people need to understand is that the weaponization of our justice system, you know, they don't seek the truth. They seek conviction. The entire Department of Justice is incentivized by their conviction rate. And their conviction rate is north of 97% with a $25 billion budget. So I have felt the pain of that. Donald J. Trump is feeling the pain of that. Peter Navarro has felt the pain of that. All of us. So many of us who have stood up, who stand up for this country, are feeling the pain of it. And Julian Assange was right in the crosshairs early on because of, frankly, things that he was breaking. I mean, information that he broke principally about the Central Intelligence Agency. And if there is a threat to this country, it ain't Julian Assange, it's the CIA. And I think that the CIA is going to have a reckoning if we ever get to another administration, another fair administration under, in this case, under Donald J. Trump. I mean, what is WikiLeaks about? What WikiLeaks is really about, a breaking, incredible level of breaking news about the corruption inside of our government. And if we know anything now, what we know now is that the corruption of entire segments of our government, not just the weaponization of the justice system or the weaponization of DOJ, but the entirety of the intel community, all 17 agencies, the FBI being among them, the CIA being among them, and one of them I used to run, the DIA. So we have an incredible level of corruption. That's the best I can say. And Julian Assange was an early target. He was put into the crosshairs early because he broke information that they didn't want exposed. He broke information that caused the CIA, principally the CIA, and other elements in the government, particularly the justice system, and the high likelihood that there are people serving in Congress, serving in the United States Senate, serving in all these administrations, particularly in the Obama administration, and certainly in the Biden administration, that are that would be taken up and caught up in all of this corruption that Assange is aware of. And people go, well, why doesn't he just put it up? Well, look at what they've done to him and look at what they're doing to this man. So, I you know, like it's like people tell me, you know, when they go, well, you know where the bodies are buried. You're damn right. But that's a metaphor for a whole bunch of other things. And once you open that can of worms up, you better be in a position where you can do something about it. And in my case, they had to get rid of me as the national security advisor. So I want people to go look up what the hell the national security advisor is. Never mind Julian Assange, who was a journalist. So the citizen journalist that we have in our midst today, the journalist, and Owen, you know this. I mean, my God, I mean, you're a man who ended up having to go to prison because of this incredible level of corruption and weaponization by an organization that seeks to convict more than seeks to discover the truth. Trust me, the incentives for people in government are not to take care of the American people. It is to actually go after each and every one of us who presents a risk to their way of life, to their base of power. And it's not just the left. It's not just the Democrats, right? It's this whole uniparty. I mean, my God, I mean, we've got people we have members of the House of Representatives. We have members of the Senate that are so compromised. We have people throughout our bureaucracy that are, these are not Americans who are just getting a paycheck. Many of these people are socialists or Marxists. And I want people to understand that the level of socialism and frankly, communism inside of our government systems. And then, so that's one aspect. So put that in that bin, because the other bin is the infiltration by elements of the Chinese Communist Party. Clear infiltration into all institutions that not only are part of our government, but also surround the United States system and our economic system, our educational systems, right? In our colleges and universities, inside of our government institutions, whether it's commerce, whether it's the Department of Agriculture, whether it's the Department of Justice, whether it's sitting inside of the White House, there is a global alliance. There is a global alliance that has formed against the United States of America. And that global alliance includes, it really starts, so, you know, sort of who's at the head of it. And people can go, well, George Soros, yep, his name, part and parcel to all of it. You know, is there a headquarters? You're damn right. It's Geneva, Switzerland, and it's led by the World Economic Forum and people in the guise of people like Klaus Schwab, Yuval Noah Harari, and all these other individuals who are part of this World Economic Forum. And they meet routinely, and they tell us exactly what they're going to do. And you have these globalist organizations called World Health, World Bank, World Trade, United Nations. I mean, there's Klaus Schwab himself, right? I mean, they're talking about global domination and eliminating the sovereignty of nations. So for people that go, well, we need to be, you know, we need to all be getting along. Yeah, I'm all for all sorts of activities and freedoms to be able to do the things we need to do, but only as a sovereign nation, as a sovereign constitutional republic. That's not what these people want. So, you know, what is it that we're up against? Because what I do want to do is I want to take some time talking about these next couple of months, okay? And partly for the audience, partly why Owen and I connected here for this, you know, for me to come on, was I wrote a short piece the other day about, you know, what's the plan? What's the plan for Uncle Joe Biden, right? And Joe Biden can't continue on as president of the United States. Come on, folks. There's no way in the world that this guy has the juice to be able to do it, anything. I mean, his dementia, and there's been different, you know, I talked about this Lewy syndrome, it's called, or I've heard this other thing. It's some type of white matter disease. I mean, seriously, these are things that people are talking about that this guy has because of the types of actions that he does. So what might be the plan? So let me lay that out, if you don't mind, Owen.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we can come back to some of the questions, because you just laid out so much information. But let's just kind of put this in context while you talk about the Biden situation. This is a man, the president of the United States, who had to disappear for a week. He's currently on a week sabbatical to prepare for the debate. To prepare for a debate, he needs a week. Now, if he needs a week to prepare for a 90-minute debate, how can this man be president? Apparently, obviously, he can't. So kind of get into that as Biden is going through God knows what right now. Injections, wires, brain chips. I mean, who knows?
Right. And I've sat down with you know, potential presidents to prepare for debates. And believe me, it doesn't take that much. Yeah, you know, especially when you're talking about a guy like Biden. You know, so what is going on here? And the timing of this whole debate and the timing with Trump's sentencing, the timing of his recent trial that found him convicted for 34 felony counts, just outrageous, unprecedented in U.S. history. So here's where I think we're at. And I started thinking about, you know, what these people might have up their sleeves, because trust me, folks, they are not sitting around, you know, wondering what they're going to do. These people have a plan and they're going to try to stick to their plan, and they care less. When people go to me, well, don't they care about what they're doing to the country? No, they don't. They do not. And I want people to understand that. And I want people to start to realize that that those that are taking this country over and taking us down a path towards communism, they care less about you. They care less about polls. They care less about, you know, our Constitution. So what might happen? And it got me thinking about the 1970s when Nixon Agnew, President Nixon and Vice President Agnew, basically they ended up both leaving office for different reasons, you know. And to me, it's another one of those when you look back, you really reassess that they were probably both set up. So Agnew leaves, the vice president, he leaves before Nixon resigns, and of course because of the 25th Amendment, they bring in Gerald Ford as the vice president. Well, then Nixon resigns. Gerald Ford then fleets up to be the president of the United States, totally unelected. And he chooses Rockefeller out of New York to be his vice president, which he could have chosen, you know, Rumpelstiltskin to be the vice president. There's no rule that you must choose a person who's in office somewhere. He just happened to choose, I think it was Nelson Rockefeller, the governor of New York, to be the vice president. So here we had Ford and Rockefeller as the president and vice president of the United States of America without ever being elected by the people.
Well, this is okay, so key. Let me kind of rephrase this so the audience really understands what you're getting into here. It sounds impossible. What you're talking about, there is a historical precedent. This has happened before where we have an unelected White House. That is what you're talking about.
Exactly.
A White House administration that was never elected, and you're saying we could be staring this down again.
Absolutely. And then trust that they will consider this scenario. These are shrewd people who are very strategic. And the one thing that they want to guarantee is that they hold on to power at all costs. And that being, as we go from this point until whatever we have or might have in November. So if they play this out and they look, because what got me thinking about this was when one of an outlet, and I think it was Gateway Pundit might have put it out, or there was some inklings that Sotomayor or one of the other Supreme Court justices may step down from the Supreme Court. This has been, you know, reported on in the last couple of weeks. So they don't have that Ginsburg effect that Obama felt at the tail end of his administration. And then Trump was able to get three Supreme Court justices. So when I heard that information, I knew right then and there, because Kamala Harris has always stated, and they've always, you know, there's her sort of pack. They've always stated that one of the things that she wanted to be was a Supreme Court justice. So if Sotomayor steps down, and we're going to be, all of us need to be paying attention to this, then I guarantee if she steps down, then the balls start to fall, right? The everything starts to fall into place. And then what will happen is Kamala will be nominated to be a Supreme Court justice. She'll be confirmed. She won't be fully confirmed by the Senate, but it doesn't matter. She'll be confirmed because the Senate is owned right now by the left. So she'll be confirmed as a Supreme Court justice. That opens up the vice president's position. So now who do you choose, right? In my scenario, in the scenario that I played out, you know, you could have Michelle Obama or Newsom. I actually think that they're considering Hillary Clinton. I really do believe that because I'm getting that same feeling, General.
Yeah. And I think we put Hillary in our rear view after she lost 2016. But the more we kind of revisit these things, even with Assange, You know, how much of right. all of this is Hillary's revenge? How much is them shutting down InfoWars Hillary's exactly. revenge? How much is what was done to Assange is Hillary's revenge? I think we put Hillary in the
going
rear view
after
too
me,
fast.
Going after Trump. I'm going to tell you. So there's so many people that are at the crosshairs of Hillary Clinton, okay, and her entire sort of group of people, but her challenge is that she is owned by others, but that ownership comes with a consequence for her. So my belief is that Kamala and Hillary's been in the media a lot lately. She's been out and about in the last probably 2 months in speaking and in the media, you know, in various cable and other networks. So she's out a lot right now. Now, so let's play this scenario out. So let's say she does go in as the vice president. Now the issue is you got to get rid of Joe so Hillary can fleet up, and then Hillary can choose whoever she wants, right? So because there's no way in the world that Joe Biden is going to be able to run for president of the United States all the way through to November. I just don't see it. But, you know, I could be wrong. But let's just say that Hillary comes in and now you're going into the convention season, right? So you could have a convention in, I think it's the second week of August for the Democrats in Chicago, if they have it, if they don't do it by Zoom. Then Hillary comes in and there could be a shift right then and there where they just say, you know, we're going to nominate Hillary Clinton to be the next president of the United States of America. And Joe, you know, graciously steps down, you know, but not before he pardons every single person in his entire family. Right. So that could be a scenario or they could take it all the way into the November timeframe, you know, basically take the election, steal another election like they did. I'm not an election denier. I deny that our elections are fair. So they could do that. That's sort of a branch to that particular scenario. If they do this scenario immediately, like I believe, then Joe's out. Hillary's now the president going in, you know, on all the ballots going into the election in November. And who does she bring in? Well, now you can talk about bringing in a Newsom, you know, a governor out of California, which almost, you know, secures you California. Hillary, of course, out of New York, which secures you New York. And then all the other machinations that these people have already been through and proven to the United States of America, proven to the American people what they're capable of doing if they decide to take another election and run it exactly how they ran the 2020 election. And so let me table that, because there's a couple of other things that are in play here. So we have an economic crisis that's on the horizon, and that is the shift to the digital currency. That there's going to be a BRICS summit in October. And I believe that between now and that BRICS summit, there's already countries that are shifting off the US dollar as the currency of choice. So that's one. We already have a climate disaster again on the horizon. And there is a executive order that's ready for this president, for Biden's signature, possibly Hillary if she steps in, for their signature in order to, and which gives the president of the United States warlike authorities. This is for a climate emergency, okay? And then you also have, you know, whether or not we have another health scare with some type of, you know, newer disease that actually could be as devastating as possible. So those are three components or scenarios, three options that they have within this broader scenario.
Let me put the audience in the right mindset to consume what you're getting into, because this is such high level intel. Folks, there is an active war against you as a sovereign citizen. There is an active war against you. They don't want you to have a sovereign nation state. They don't want you to have the ability of self-government. They don't want you to have the freedom of prosperity. This is an active war against the citizen of planet Earth. No matter what country you're in, we're focusing on the United States of America. But so when you're hearing General Flynn talking about this, these are the things that are in the playbook in the active war against the sovereign citizen, against your ability to be free and prosper, against your right to self-government.
Yeah. And I don't care, you know, again, I'm kind of a free thinker here, Owen. People need to be very careful what they read, who they listen to, and what they believe. Okay, that's why, you know, myself and Sergeant Boone Cutler, wrote that book on fifth generation warfare, because in layman's terms, it lays out exactly what we are engaged in. So all of that stated, right? And what Owen just harped on again is this idea of sovereignty. You know, that when, so let's jump overseas for a second. Let's jump overseas for a second, because we have this engagement, this conflict, major conflict with Russia right now. And Ukraine is kind of at the, Ukraine's sort of the playing field, if you will. But, okay, but what is going to happen? And if you pay attention, folks, to the statements coming out of Russia and the Russian naval platforms that are sitting off of the coast of the United States of America right now. So, and then there was an attack that is being blamed on the West. It could, you know, we'll see if it's exactly who it's blamed on, but they're blaming it on the West. Actually, Russia said that they feel it has all of the hallmarkings of a CIA type operation. And that occurred in Dagestan. So you had Dagestan, you had these major, and you're showing some of these some of this equipment right now, where you've got American military contractors that are actually facilitating these weapons right now, these rockets that are being fired into, you know, into Russia. So don't think that Russia's response is going to be just in Ukraine. I mean, Russia could destroy those weapon systems in a second, and they likely will. And Ukraine is I can go into detail, but I won't waste your audience's time on Ukraine right now. But Ukraine is one giant crime scene, and it has been a crime scene for years, and it goes back at least 10, maybe 15 years. And when I say a crime scene, you got every type of crime that you could possibly be committed inside of Ukraine, from money laundering to drug trafficking to human trafficking to weapon smuggling, et cetera. So Russia's response is not going to just be in Ukraine. And this is what really, really bothers me a lot. And it frightens me to a degree. So Russia and China have an alliance with Iran, they have an alliance with North Korea, they have an alliance with Venezuela. And we now have we have 10 million, let's just say 10 million illegals, let's say a couple hundred thousand terrorists and criminals that are from some of these nation states that are aligned with Russia, China, Iran, Venezuela, North Korea. This is an alliance that definitely exists. And they are allied with some of these radical Islamic states. So for Russia and China, particularly those two countries, especially China, to turn the spigot on of terrorism inside of the United States of America, we've already heard the FBI say it's, you know, the lights aren't blinking, the lights are red, they're beet red. So Russia, and this is what concerns me, and that it's almost like our administration is calling out Russia to do something to draw us in to a much greater war, World War III, that frankly, I can tell you right now, Owen, and tell your audience, our military is not prepared for.
Well, absolutely. And we're up against the break here. So let's hold that thought. Yep. I mean, I guess they're prepared to, you know, hit the catwalk in red high heels and show everybody their gay pride patch. They are prepared for that. But for an actual war, nowhere near, where Russia is battle hardened. But it's not just a kinetic war. It's not just kind of this war where we think about missiles and bombs. Putin is engaging in master diplomacy right now, and it's not just the BRICS system. There's more to it. We'll talk about that with General Flynn on the other side of this break.
I'm Dr. Robert Epstein. I've been to Texas many times because my late wife was from Corpus Christi. All right. She was killed, unfortunately, under suspicious circumstances the day after Christmas in 2019. It was during that year that I also first testified before Congress. Senator Ted Cruz was leading that session, Senate Judiciary. It's also that year that I gave a private briefing to AGs that was led by Ken Paxton. It was at Stanford University. After I came out of that hearing, one of the AGs approached me and said, Dr. Epstein, I don't mean to scare you, he said, but based on what you told us, I think you're going to be killed in some sort of accident in the next few months. I was not, but my wife was. This could have something to do with the research that I do, because what I'm going to tell you now is how you can make Google and other companies accountable to the public.
What Robert Epstein has found is that Google has systematically manipulated search results, and they do it particularly to influence elections.
I believe the threats posed by Google are so serious that everyone needs to know about them.
A new study says that Google's search algorithm could actually help steal the presidency.
The controlling of algorithms on Facebook, Google, and TikTok, and what people can see and search, is a huge deal.
People blindly trust high-ranking search results over lower ones.
If their search results favor one candidate, that can easily shift the opinions and voting preferences of undecided voters.
They have to manipulate their search results so that it gives them their political agenda that they want.
The biggest potential manipulator in this election is Google.
Google's algorithm is fixing what you're actually seeing. This is the key point.
I'm telling you that it's much bigger and badder than you could possibly imagine.
If we don't stop them in the 2024 election, Google alone will be able to shift between 6.4 and 25.5 million votes to one candidate.
Google is out here rigging our elections. And if they're not stopped, they're going to do it again.
The point is that we're capturing all the evidence. No one's ever captured the evidence before. We really are their worst nightmare.
Thousands of former Nazis went to work for the United States government.
A flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
Here is a bulletin from CBS News. President Kennedy has been shot.
This is a different kind of war.
The USS Liberty had just been attacked by Israeli jets and torpedo boats.
The CIA could manipulate the news in the United States.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
It was almost as if it were a plan in motion. It just tanked.
We need to go into the Capitol!
You will always have conspiracy theories. They are nothing but distractions.
You guys censored Harvard-educated doctors. You silenced those voices.
What we want to do in Davos is push the reset button.
As soon as we start exposing the Great Reset, the sooner these globalists start going to prison!
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Is under attack. This is the War Room.
All right, you are getting prime time. General Mike Flynn right now. Remember, the new movie is out, Pardon of Innocence. He's also got multiple books out, more in coming. So pay attention to all this important intelligence that you're getting from one of the top intelligence experts to ever come out of D.C., General Mike Flynn. Now, I want to pick it up where we left off, General, and get into these geopolitical issues. And I would put this out there because this is what I see. This is what the Western media is missing big time. Whatever you think about Vladimir Putin, people can have opinions about him all day long, but let's lay down the facts. Vladimir Putin is a master diplomat. He has taken Russia out of the era of the dregs of communism and turned it into a blossoming nation that is maybe arguably the most patriotic nation on earth right now, certainly more unified than our country, and their military is battle-hardened and ready and proven to go, along with the technology that they have, which Putin insinuates we haven't even really seen the full potential. So aside from what we kind of think about when we think about wars, talk about the diplomacy that Putin is engaging in right now with China, with North Korea, with Vietnam, with Saudi Arabia. You know, we think about it as, well, you know, what might Russia do to us? Well, what about collapsing the U.S. dollar? How serious of an issue is that with the BRICS negotiations and this new front that Putin is forming to kind of parallel against NATO?
Yeah. So let me just take back about, and I'll go through this quickly. Between 2012 and 2014, China and Russia signed the largest military and economic deal in the history of the world. Okay, not just between those two nations, but the largest military and economic deal. And that was back in the 2012 to 2014 timeframe. I think it was actually done in about 2013. A year later, because of the encroachment of NATO, which was in total violation of what's called the Budapest Accords, people can go look it up, 1994, Putin finally said, to hell with this. Well, I'm not going to put up with this encroachment of NATO on our doorstep into Ukraine. And while Obama was in office, he attacked into Ukraine, the two Eastern Donbasses and Crimea. Okay, so now let's jump to today. Where we're at today is Russia as a nation and China as a nation, they absolutely firmly believe in their sovereignty. Now, China will play with the globalist CEOs and these globalist organizations. They'll play in that sandbox all day long, teasing them and inviting them and saying, yes, it will do all these things. And China does none of them, but benefits from all of them. Okay, China is the real top dog here because, frankly, their strength, the strength on a variety of levels, military, economically, just societally, their culture. And so they're the sort of the dominant dog in this partnership between them and Russia. But both of these nations absolutely believe firmly in sovereignty. So that's why the globalists are just up in arms at Russia because, you know, remember, it's part of Europe. And what Putin understands and recognizes and what he's been talking about for the better part of 20, 25 years. I mean, this is not to apologize. You know, all the bullshit, all these people on the left that are going to say something, you know, what is it that they want? They want us to go to war with Russia? Why? And you have to ask yourself why. What is it that they're trying to hide? And it's not that they're going to benefit themselves because they already have. They've benefited themselves in many, many ways. It's what it is. It's what they're trying to hide and what they're trying to hide from the American people because nobody's reporting this. So all that said, we now have an existential threat right here in our homeland. And I just laid that out prior where Russia decided, Putin has decided, all you can do is listen to their damn speeches that they're making after these things. You know, Lavrov, who's the foreign minister, Putin himself, I mean, they're very transparent about what they're planning on doing and what they're going to do. And they have warned us enough to the point where now it's like, holy crap, folks, we better be prepared. So when Putin sent a naval fleet, a naval flotilla off of Cuba, and you know, these are not weapon systems that can range Miami. These are weapon systems that can range Iowa, okay? Omaha. I mean, they can range the center of this country, they can range the entire both coastlines of our country if they want to. So this is a very, very dangerous time. These are nations that want their own sovereignty. They don't want to be part of this globalist nonsense. The globalists want to have America. They already have Canada. They already have Mexico. They already have most of the nations in Europe. Although I will say that I am pleasantly surprised at the nationalist movements inside of a couple of European nations right now. We'll see how the various European elections play out over the next month or two. And I will be pleasantly surprised if the nationalists take back power and start to send some of these illegals home, because these illegals are destroying the fabric of Europe as they are destroying the very fabric of the United States of America. And again, I want people to understand that don't think that, you know, don't say to yourself, stop saying it. Don't let anybody else say, well, don't these people realize they're destroying our country? You're damn right they realize it. They're intentionally trying to destroy our country in order to turn the United States of America from the path of being a constitutional republic to being a communist nation, part of this globalist system of government.
Yeah, and a subsidiary of the corporate world government that we got a little taste of during COVID. But I don't want to skip over what you just said because this is so important. It shows how lame our media is. It shows how lame our representation in D.C. is that you have the largest land invasion in the history of this world. That's what's happening at our southern border. It's the largest land invasion in the history of the world. And it's not insignificant that Russia is 60 miles off the coast of Florida conducting military drills. General Flynn, they don't even talk about it. They don't even talk about it. They don't even report on it.
Yeah. And you know what? In warfare, you have two statistics among many others. You have killed in action and wounded in action. In the United States of America right now, and the numbers, you know, the numbers are north of 100,000 killed in action. My guess right now is sitting here, you know, June timeframe, because a year ago we were talking about over 100,000 killed in action by Chinese-made Mexican cartel-introduced fentanyl, okay? So we are probably close to 200,000 killed in action, never mind the number of wounded in action on the streets of America. So it's not only the largest land invasion in the history of the world, we're talking upwards of 10 to 12 million people just the last 3 years alone, but we're also talking about the consequences that it has had on citizens in this country. You know, I mean, when you're talking about close to 200,000 killed in action by a drug that, in fact, in the last six months to a year, they've laced it with this with even a more potent component of the drug itself to kill more people and to wound more people. The media doesn't say a word about it. The media doesn't talk about the kinds of things that are happening right here in our own country, in our own hemisphere. Because why? Because it would show this administration in a dark light. So this corporatocracy called the media is aligned with the U.S. intelligence community. They are aligned with the White House. They are aligned with the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. Both sides, folks, Republicans and Democrats. That's why you see, you know, Speaker of the House Johnson's, you know, signing off on a $60 billion, you know, stipend to Ukraine. You know, and a buddy of mine sent me a picture of a bunch of yachts in Monaco the other day, you know, about a couple of months. It's just incredible.
Oh, the Kiev regime is doing very well. The Kiev is living in a bubble right now, and everyone outside of Kiev is suffering, losing their lives. You know, and this is why it's so important to listen to you, because you put things in perspective. I didn't even think about it like that. The killed in action numbers coming from the fentanyl that is from the cartels at the southern border. And it just so happens when I spent my time in prison, I happened to meet a couple of the biggest fentanyl dealers, and they laid out the whole thing to me. They both work with the cartels. They explained the whole thing, how everybody wants that gig. Everybody wants to move the fentanyl because it's the biggest profiting deal. It's the most powerful drug. You can lace every other drug with it. So basically, I mean, when cocaine used to be the biggest thing to smuggle across the border, you're making like 10 times that with fentanyl because you just need a tiny little bit to increase the potency of any other drug. So that's the number one thing. The cartels are running the entire thing. It's all coming across the southern border. So I'm so glad you point that out, because I wouldn't even have thought of that. That's killed in action. Those are killed in action numbers from the war at our southern border.
Yeah, and why do I use killed in action? Because it is a foreign government introduced weapon system which they're so smart. The Chinese are very smart, and they, you know, win a war without ever firing a shot. They don't have to fire a shot. They just gotta destroy our entire society by continuing to introduce whatever damaging drugs they can introduce. And because another thing that they Chinese are behind, as well as these Mexican cartels, they're behind human trafficking, especially child trafficking. This is another aspect of the destruction of our society by a foreign power, in this case, the Chinese. But nobody in the administration wants to talk about that. Why? Because the Chinese have so bought and paid for this administration, specifically the Biden crime family, specifically many inside of our government. When you start to look at Chinese companies that are operating in this country right now, that when you look at not only Chinese-owned companies, but Chinese subsidiaries that they have created that are just businesses that look like they're normal businesses, whether they're in real estate or whether they're in manufacturing or whether they're in the pharmaceuticals, They appear to be like some U.S. company would only.
Yeah, brick and mortar fronts, basically.
Exactly. And so, again, this is the war. This is fifth generation warfare. This is winning a war without ever firing a shot. The Chinese have been at this for the better part of 20 to 25 years, folks. And when I say that they have infiltrated inside of our government, they're actually operating inside of the White House. They're operating inside the National Security Council. They're operating inside of the U.S. intelligence community. They're operating inside of our corporate media. They're operating inside of our educational institutions. They're operating inside of our industries, that are, and they're profiting. So let me just, put that into the perspective. Let me add one more piece of this. That's a piece of geography that everybody needs to understand. And this has to do with the infiltration of so many illegals coming into our country. And it's called the Panama Canal. Okay, the Panama Canal. It's like, why do I bring up the Panama Canal? Well, 70% of United States trade transits the Panama Canal, whether it's going to the East Coast, the West Coast, 70%. And right now, the Chinese, my assessment, the Chinese are going to own the Panama Canal probably. I mean, if they don't own it already, they're probably going to own it very shortly within the next year or two. And I say own it, that means controlling who transits the Panama Canal. Something that we always prided ourselves on was not only building the damn thing, but how it functioned and how it operated. The United States of America was always in charge of it. And we worked closely with the Panamanian government for many years, even with Noriega, in the days of Noriega. Obama, at the tail end of Obama administration, he gave the Panama Canal away. And once he did that, the Chinese jumped on board. So now with the illegals, now with the infiltration of not only all these other countries throughout the Central America and Panama, now we're starting to see China rise over in the Gulf, on the Gulf side, in the Atlantic side, or on the eastern side of the Panama Canal, from places like Antigua all the way up to Cuba. You see Chinese embassies growing. You see Chinese intelligence operations growing. So they're basically positioning themselves globally. Never mind Taiwan. Taiwan is a distraction. It's what they're doing in other parts of the world, and particularly in the Asia-Pacific theater, what they're doing in our own neighborhood, and what China has done in 20 years with their One Belt and One Road initiative, which basically goes all the way over to the west coast of Africa and all the way into cities like London. So the Chinese have been at this game for a long, long time. They have aligned themselves with nation states that are clearly against the United States of America. But what they needed was they needed a dupe in the White House. And they got it in spades with not only Barack Obama, where they needed a guy like him. Like Barack Obama says, I want to basically be president a third term, but I don't want to have to all the trappings of it, right? So that's what we have right now. And they have a guy like Joe Biden who is, it is so undeniable, so clear how much control others have over him. I mean, the guy has no control over his own bowel movements, never mind the decision making that we are not seeing out of this administration. But it's not because of incompetence. It is intentional. This is an intentional destruction of our culture, of our society. And when I look at the world going forward, because now we need to just spend, I don't know how much time we got here, but to spend a couple of minutes going forward. Let's do that.
And by the way, this is why I think maybe they do go with Biden again, if they can, simply because he is so easily controllable as a puppet and blackmailed and everything. Yeah. As he is, you don't even know where he is. But you know what's crazy about you talking about the Panama Canal, and I'm not endorsing corruption that our bureaucracies have engaged in, but it's funny because, in the 80s and the like, the CIA would engage in all kinds of activities, but at least they would try to benefit our country. Like as corrupt as it was, like the CIA would run all kinds of scandals all over the planet, but they would try to benefit American interest. Now it's just like they don't even care who benefits. It's just collapse everything. So it's like they don't even work for us anymore. Now, I don't know if you want to expand on that or if you want to go on where we go with the last 10 minutes of this interview, well, as a country moving forward.
Yeah. Yeah, I think what happened was Donald Trump stepped into the political fray and was able to beat the heir apparent to this communist takeover of the United States of America, which would have been essentially 8 years of Obama, 8 years of Hillary Clinton, and we'd be done. Okay, so you and I wouldn't be having this conversation. And what happened was Donald Trump, you know, who talked about running for president for a long time, finally decided to do so. And when he did, he won, right? You know, the sort of, you know, miracle on whatever street you want to call it. But he won. He beat the odds. He beat the algorithms. He beat the theft even then, because we know then that they were trying in three other states. I think it was Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Minnesota. And that's a story for another day. But so Donald Trump wins. And as soon as he won, all hell broke loose. And what they had to do is they had to either get him out of there right away and certainly destroy his presidency from day one, from minute one. And we know that now. There's no denying that. Russiagate was all based on a lie. Impeachments, all this craziness. And now here we are where they're going after him with whatever it is, 95 felony counts. They got him guilty of 34. We don't even know we don't even know what he's guilty for. And they're going to sentence him on the 11th of July. I mean, we've got, Steve Bannon in jail on the 1st of July. We've got Peter Navarro in jail. I mean, the insanity, they're going after InfoWars. They're going after anybody who they don't like, or is in their way, is putting out basically the truth. They will destroy. Okay. And you're talking, the conversation that you and I are having are two people for your audience that they really did decide that they were going to try to destroy us. And frankly, your skin is too thick, and same with mine. So going forward, what are the, again, I talked a little bit about this scenario about getting rid of Joe Biden, or the Nixon Agnew scenario, the 70s precedent that they could do now, where we could have a president and a vice president going into November who are unelected. But they don't care. And they have a plan to take this election again. We'll see. I pray that I'm wrong. But let's just say that come 11 July, this judge who owns Trump right now, he owns him. I don't care what you want to say. What people, it's like, Trump can appeal and all this, but that's Trump. This judge owns Trump right now. And so this judge is going to sit there and he's going to say, Mr. Trump, and now you're going to call him President Trump. Mr. Trump, you were convicted by a jury of your peers, and I'm going to sentence you. Based on that, I'm going to sentence you to X, Y, and Z. And I think this judge is going to put him in jail. Now, a lot of the experts are saying, well, no, he would never put him in jail, are full of it, because all the experts were the same ones that said there's nothing here. There's no crime committed. There's no way in the world that they're going to find him guilty.
This is so key. Let me explain why you're the expert and why I'm the expert, and now Trump is the expert. Because these quote unquote experts have never been through it. They've never been in that courtroom on the wrong side. They've never been a target of the deep state. They've never been a target of the Democrats. They've never been a target. So they aren't experts when it comes to this. Actually, they're not experts at all. And that's why I agree with you, and I understand exactly what you're saying. So continue.
Yeah, I'm telling you, boy, I feel for Trump, because this judge owns him, and I don't think he's going to walk out of that courtroom unscathed. I think this judge is going to.
Well, the Democrats only paid his family hundreds of millions of dollars. So, what do you think it's worth?
Exactly. Exactly. So let's assume that happens. Now what? So now we go into a convention. I mean, a convention, right? I mean, it's all pro forma. This is all pro forma nonsense. This is as though we are in this surreal political world where everything is going to be based on a free and fair outcome in a presidential election in November. I mean, we all know what we went through in 2020, where Trump was up in all the polls. So yeah, Trump is up in all the polls, and Trump, for Trump's sake, he's got to be talking positively. He's got to be talking. He's up in all the polls. He's doing fine.
And he has to reach out to every group. Too big to rig.
Exactly. He has got. And so you know, I'm encouraged by the African-American community. I'm encouraged by the Hispanic community. I'm encouraged by the Asian-American communities that are coming out and speaking out saying, hey, enough is enough. You know, when I watch places like Milei or President Milei in Argentina, Argentina was a communist country for over 100 years. Milei pops up and the people basically said enough is enough. I pray that the American people feel the same way going forward. You know, I'm watching the primaries in this country, and we've got less than a 35% turnout nationwide in the nation in the primaries for this particular presidential election. Less than 35%. So, folks, don't tell me that we got to get out and vote, and then nobody goes out and votes. So, we're going to move forward, and I do believe that there are going to be some plans in place that are going to assure that the outcome in November is to the good for the left. If I were on their team, and I'll throw this back to you in one second here. If I were on their team, if I was on the left's team, there is no way in the world I was advising them that I would want Donald J. Trump to be able to be president of the United States again. So therefore, I would be advising to do anything possible to stop that, even if it means stealing another election, even if it means saying we're going to not just take six counties, we're going to take 100 counties, we're going to do it all. And you know what? Come fight us in courtrooms again. Come do the lawfare again, because we're going to outspend you 20, 30 to one anyway, which they already have been doing for the last 4 years, even given a ton of evidence that we have now learned from the 2020 election. There's a ton of evidence. It's just that there's no way that a judge is going to sit there knowing what's going to happen to them and rule on something that's going to, you know, go take us back. And so right now, where are we? We must move forward as a nation. We must move forward as a citizenry that says enough is enough. And people in their local levels, and I use this phrase, local action has a national impact. I don't care about the polls. Trump has been up in the polls from the get-go. He was up in the polls prior to 2020. There's no way in the world that Biden should be on even any poll.
Yeah, he gets 50-1 at rally turnouts. I mean, it's right. A joke. We've got
so to wrap up with me, because I know we're going to come to a hard break here. I want people to understand, read, and learn what is happening. Don't believe this corporate media, and really pay attention to what's happening, because they're going to go after. They're going after some of us still. They're going to come after you next.
And what you said is so important. They can't let Trump back in the White House. This is the ultimate infinity stone for their power. General Mike Flynn, thank you so much for your time. God bless and Godspeed.
All right, folks, BrainForce Ultra is back in stock. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Before I started working here at InfoWars, I didn't believe that supplements really worked. I thought these were just products that people consumed for peace of mind and that our body would flush them out. But one of the first products I ever took was BrainForce Plus, which is the capsule version of BrainForce Ultra. And this is actually more powerful than BrainForce Plus. But the first time I ever took BrainForce Plus, I noticed within 20 minutes that I had a change in my state of mind. And ever since then, I believed in our products and I believed in supplementation as an important part of health. So BrainForce Ultra is particularly special because it's a more potent and convenient form than BrainForce Plus. Now, it's not only going to help you with enhanced cognitive function, focus, but it also is going to help you with increased energy levels. We know that the formula includes yerba mate leaf and green tea leaves, both of which contain natural caffeine and polyphenols. These components provide a sustained energy boost without the crash. Ashwagandha root and ginkgo leaf are included for their adaptogenic and antioxidant properties. Not only will this product help enhance mental clarity and focus, enhance energy levels, but it will do so in a way that reduces stress so you don't feel the anxiety associated with too much caffeine, energy drinks, perhaps like an Adderall or a nicotine. These are all great reasons to buy BrainForce Ultra from InfoWarsStore.com. But perhaps the best reason to get this product, BrainForce Ultra, from InfoWarsStore.com is because by buying products from InfoWarsStore.com, you keep InfoWars on the air. Now, we know that freedom of speech is under attack. We know that there's a war on for your mind, that the globalists and transhumanists and the New World Order are trying to conglomerate all political power so they can subjugate humanity for the indefinite future. But we're not going to let that happen, because we're going to do things like go to InfoWarsStore.com. We're going to get BrainForce Ultra. Ultra. We're going to fight and win the war that is on for our minds, all while keeping InfoWars on the air. So please visit InfoWarsStore.com right now, get BrainForce Ultra, and be the reason we are still on the air.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.